Hello, welcome to the Transmedia Podcast. I'm Natalie Rios, and you can find me online as at Nati Goico. And we are here with the filmmaker and game designer Ricarda Sale and filmmaker Maximilian Niemann, who developed a great interactive zombie apocalypse film, which is called 5 Minutes. So hello, Ricarda and Max. Welcome to our podcast.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi, thank you for the invitation.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for being here. So I would like you to explain what is the project about. For someone who hasn't seen it, who hasn't, you know, for the listeners who might not know about your project, why don't you explain it? What is it about and how is it like?
Yeah, so I would start now. Right?
Yes.
Five Minutes is an interactive zombie movie. It's about the zombie apocalypse, and it shows two survivors of the apocalypse and how they deal with the problems that occur when you have to fight against zombies. Yes. And the main or the special thing about it is that it's an interactive movie game. So it's not a movie, it's not a game, it's a mixture between both genres.
That is great. It's like an experience, an interactive experience, which involves the viewer.
Right. The goal was, our main goal was, right from the beginning, to create something that extends the emotions a film can create or a movie can create with interactivity, so the user or player in this case gets extension to the normal feelings he gets when he watches a movie. So
yeah, I think that's a great thing about your film, because it involves the viewer in a way that he feels the fear of the actors. Actually, it's just like, you know, it's not a game, but it's like you are involved in the movie in a different way, because the things that you have to do actually have effects on the characters. So I think that's really
yes,
great.
And maybe for the listeners who don't know the website, like, you can play 5 Minutes on mobile, on the iPad, and on desktop.
Okay.
So it's and we adjusted it for iPad. Like, that's the best experience.
Okay, that's great. So yes, we'll share the links and everything so the listeners can go and play it, because it's really fun. So it's a question for both of you, I guess. What is the experience of the viewer? Can you explain that? And then can you tell me why exactly, why did you choose this kind of interactivity and, you know, what is the experience and why did you want to create? I mean, we talked about you creating fear for the viewer, and but just develop a little bit further that part.
The story, the whole story is about John, who isn't sure whether he's infected or not, and the viewer or the player has to find out whether he's infected or not. And the whole game concept is about time pressure. And about, it's a mixture between quick time events and sometimes of some type of gesture game. So you have to prove that you are fast enough with your mouse or your finger on the iPad. Yeah. And the idea was that you feel that the same pressure like the protagonist, by being under permanently time pressure. Yeah, right.
Okay, perfect. And did you always know, because when you created the story, did you always know that that's what you wanted? I mean, that this kind of interactivity, or did it come after you created the story? How was that? Was it like, did you decide the interactivity first, or what, the story came first? Was it
the,
like...
No, no. The idea was to do the storyline first, so you have a movie you would like to watch.
Okay,
and
perfect.
You don't have something like a gadget thing, a gadget layer on the movie. The idea was to do a movie first and, of course, think about the interactivity all the time, but to adjust it at the end to the feeling the player has. So we thought about some very simple games in the beginning and some more complex games, which never found their way to the final project, the final product. But you have to start with both, I think. The main problem or the main difficulty about developing such an interactive project is, for me, for example, I'm a director, I do films, I direct actors. I like all technical stuff and I like games as well, but it's really hard to talk about games. Nobody exactly understands in the beginning when you have an idea for a game, understands what you want. When I talk about film with my DOP, for example, I talk with him, oh, I want this close-up, I want this detail shot. He understands it because we have a common language. We have some kind of film language. But for example, when I discuss the script with the producer, which is Felix Feist, he understands, or he could imagine how it will feel as a movie because he has seen so many movies before, and he adapts this into his memories of the other movies. But when it comes to games, it's really hard to find, at the beginning, of course, it's really hard to find a common language or language everybody understands. And so you have to do, I think you have to do really, really near to final prototypes to test if this is a good game or not. You couldn't start with an idea and a sketch and everybody says, yeah, this will be great at the end. This will not. This doesn't happen. This didn't happen to us because we were very unexperienced in doing the combination between movie and games.
Yeah.
Because it's a quite new genre for us.
Yes, and I would maybe add that, like, I totally agree with Max, and it's kind of like the interactivity evolved and the whole production, and maybe you can say like a film production, it's kind of linear.
Yeah.
You plan it, then you shoot it, then you edit it, then it's done. But for the game, like, it's, as Max said, you don't really know how it's going to be until you actually have some kind of prototype which you can try out and which you can show to people so they can feel it and they can actually understand, because it's so... Yeah, it's so abstract, and there's like kind of like missing the like, because it's new in a way. Yes, like I think.
Yeah, I think that's very good, because we had we interviewed Karen Palmer, who did an interactive project as well, and she said like interactivity never ends in a way, because you are always adapting and you are always. You always have to change little things because you don't know how the user actually is going to react. So you have to plan it and then test it and redo it or change things or really know what the experience is like for the final user. So I think it's a process that is always, you know, it's not linear in a way. And I think that's really interesting. You, Max, coming from a filmmaking background, and having this interest for interactivity and actually living all of this experience is really, really cool. Do you developed like a process for it, or do you have any insights that you can give us about, you know, what your experience was, or do you think you have a way of approaching an interactive experience differently, or maybe, you know, what would you think about that? Because you know how to write a movie and you have experience in that, and now you have this experience, so What?
No, I think it's quite the same. It's more about spending much time with the project. You have to admit yourself to spend a lot of time to the project. It's the same for filmmaking. When you start doing filmmaking, you do a lot of short movies and they are all shit. And you try to find out, why is this shit? Maybe it's the camera. Then you start to get a better camera and DOP and operators and light. And then you find out, the movie looks better, but it's shit. and you find out, maybe it's about the scenery. And you change the scenery. And then at the end you find out, it's all about the acting. Good. and you start to get to try to get good actors for your stuff. So, for example, for 5 minutes, we from the very, very beginning, it was clear that we wanted to have great actors. And this is what it's all about. You can do an interactive stuff, whatever you want, but if the acting is shit, or if the acting doesn't catches you, the whole project is for the trash bin. So we took a long time to get the casting done and flew to London to cast our actors. And I think this paid out at the end because they did a really, really great job. They were really experienced and they helped us a lot to make this project emotionally impactful. Yeah, right.
So I think the teamwork is a key in this kind of productions, right? So can you both talk a little bit about the experience, about the teamwork, and how did you build a team? How did you divide the work? And, because you have the filmmaking part and then you have the interactivity and the game design part. So can you talk about that experience, please?
Maybe I give it over to you, Rika, at the end. So in the beginning, we were shooting this movie and we have planned all the interactivity and we were quite sure this is perfect, this is great, this will be impactful, you will fear your ass off when you fight along John's side against the zombies. And then we did the shooting and shoot everything like we thought it would be powerful and awesome. And when we were in the editing room, I'm right now in the editing room with the same editor, you find out that the interactivity doesn't work. There are huge gaps in the whole story, so you have too many movie parts where no interactivity happens. Mm-hmm. And this was the time when I called Rika for help. And where we thought about changing the whole concept of interactivity. And we started then from layout cut, and I talked to Rika and said, yes, we need some games. I told her we need games, but we need for this passage we need something. It's too empty. And she came up with some concepts for games, and then it was back and forth with ideas and meetings, and then we tried out to do the first developments in real and found out, this is cool, this is not cool, and this is the whole process. This process is about working together and the communication. It's the same on a film set, but in the interactive process you have to work closer together because you need quicker feedback.
Maybe I can add that, as Max said, I joined the team then quite lately, like after the shooting was done. I think probably the positive thing was that I had some, like, because I came from outside, I had some fresh view on it. Max was working very hard, he was editing, he was very much into it, and then we tried again to think, like, what are going to be the devices where it's going to be able to play, and this is the story, where can you put which kind of interactivity and how can you combine the small interactive elements with the story? And how Max said, like, then we came up with different versions, and finally we had a version where Max created a prototype. And this is also something which I think is probably, I think it's very impressive and probably also interesting to your listeners, because what happened in our team was that basically we didn't have a proper technical director or like programmers, or we had some, but it wasn't really, like, because it's like a student project, we didn't have the budget to pay programmers, and it was very difficult. And the amazing thing is that actually Max taught himself how to program. Like, Max, he started to work for, I think, weeks on how, I don't actually know how you did it, Max, but it was amazing, because Max started to program the prototypes, and throughout the whole production, he taught himself how to, the whole technical part, like how to program it in HTML5 and all this. And I think this also shows how, like, in comparison to a film where you know you always use this editing software or that editing software, and it always works the same, for interactivity, you don't really know on what you're going to, I mean, you plan something for a device, and then you have to test it, and then maybe you have to change the technology. And so I think this is one of the most amazing things, which I was really impressed. The whole team was impressed. Maybe Max, maybe you can talk a bit about that, how you got into this programming world. And I mean, it is really impressive. I never met anyone else who.
Yes, I think it's really cool that you are telling me you had the story, you wanted interaction, but as I understand, you didn't exactly know which technology you were going to use for this interaction.
No. This was quite clear from the beginning. The problem was
you didn't have the programmers to do it, to actually do
Right. We called all the big fancy production companies around the world, and they could help us out on this. But we thought about, they have already done something like this, and they don't have to start from the beginning, you know. So they have experience on doing JavaScript, HTML5 productions, and they maybe have a framework that already does a great job for interactive movies. But we found out after 3 or 4 months that nobody was willing to put so much time in it. And this is totally understandable, because it takes a lot of time in the beginning. And they don't know if it will be worth the time at the end. So it was really hard. It was impossible for us to convince any company to do the whole work. And after we get our last denial, I thought about trying it out myself. And because I believed in the project so much, and I couldn't accept that this project will end as a movie without interaction. Yeah.
That is really, really good. I mean, yes, you believed in the project, and you had a clear idea of what you wanted, and you went for it. And it's very impressive. I mean, when the listeners play it, they won't believe there's no programming. you know, you learned that from scratch. It's amazing.
But in the end, so when we had I think we get in contact with Unit 9 when we had a functional framework. So the framework was done all by myself, but then they did the polishing stuff with us together. There were a lot of people involved with great experience and knowing how to pull this project over the finishing line. Okay. So they did a lot of work, but the main framework, which is
the hard
work. No, not the hard work, but
But the beginning, yeah.
It's the beginning, and this is a work where you don't know whether it will pay off or not.
Yeah, of course. And I think that's an interesting insight, because you found out that you needed to do it yourself just to show and actually say, okay, this works. This is the way it's going to work, and you know, make them believe as you believed in the project, I guess. So then they joined and they actually helped and made it happen.
But to make it clear, when we get in contact with Unit 9 in a very early stage, and this stage, Piero was already into it. He believed in the emotional power of the project, but he told us later he never believed that this project will be finished at the end, and he couldn't afford so much time for nothing. He couldn't afford to push so many. I don't get it.
But I think you want to say like so many programming files, right? I mean, without knowing that it would actually,
right,
be done.
And, yeah, exactly. And then, with having the guarantee, you know.
Then a couple of months later, when Max actually made the whole the framework himself, he could then show the prototype, the prototype working, and then I guess that was
exactly
that's the magic of when you can show something, actually put it in the hand of someone else.
Yeah, and they did a huge investment on finishing this, so it's not they don't believe in it, but at the beginning what it was hard to convince anybody that this project will be finished in the end, right?
Yeah, so it's one of the challenges, I guess, one of the biggest challenges you had. But what about other things? What sort of challenges did you face about, you know, creating the project? Other challenges.
Well, I think when we did the testing, we did two phases of testings, and as Max said earlier, it was like the first time for all of us in the team to ever make an interactive film or something in that direction, and we didn't know what this testing is going to bring us, and we didn't know when to stop it. Like, we had we did two testings, and then the project has the producer Felix Feist, and then the interactive producer Jonas Kirchner, who's like a second producer, and he helped he helped doing the user testing, and then Jonas actually had the idea to make like a third testing, and that was when Max said, hey, we have to stop testing, like we already kicked out some other games, we have to find like an ending for that. I think that the whole testing phase gave us a lot of insight, because you could really see how the ideas Max and I thought about and how they would work, and I mean the mini games and this interactivity, and then also some things with the design where the users were confused or some things like that which we adjusted, and I think that was really helpful. But it was also good for Max to say, okay, now we cannot do like a third or fourth testing. It's like we have to make decisions
and there's like a deadline, sort of, because you could test forever, but then you have to, you know, you have to deliver the best you can, and then say, okay, this is it, because of course you'll always get feedback, and there will, because it's interactivity, there will always be things that are different for different person who experiences the film. So I guess it's put in the line, like, okay, we have a complete product now, we can move on,
right? Yeah, but I think what was good about the user testing is that we did a good analysis about it.
Yeah,
or of course. We did an analysis where we find the matching ports and where most people say, okay, this game is not good and this game is cool. I like it. I like this game on an iPad. I don't like this game on a desktop computer. And so you can find out where there are a lot of people talking about the same stuff. And of course, you will always have some people which say, okay, I don't like that she's wearing a red hat because it confuses me. And you have to find out for yourself which feedback is important and which is not.
Yeah.
Which can be very hard, of course.
Yeah, but delicate, I guess.
Yeah, but it's totally necessary to don't get crazy.
Yeah, because I think that's a difference as well. When you are doing a film that is not interactive, then you do it, and you don't have this testing part. So it's kind of finding the balance.
I'm usually do a commercial work, so I'm of a commercial director. So there's testing as well.
Yeah, you have some sort of testing, but
yeah, and it makes you crazy because this testing has been proven to be right in 50% of all testings, but the other 50% are wrong. So it's useless.
Yeah.
and if you test a movie or you test a commercial with audience and everybody can't imagine the final product, it's really hard to get some use out of it. But on the other hand side, I think in an interactive project, it is necessary to do this because you can't imagine how people deal with your project. Maybe they turn around the tablet all the time and it's quite interesting to look at them. I was on at the testings as well, and it's quite interesting how they maybe don't write it down in the final sheet, but you can look at them and see, this scene has this impact and this scene has that impact, and they don't understand why to do this. Okay, so you have to make your own notes as well when you test.
Yes, and I think it's important to do this, because when you are familiarized with the story and the project, then you don't see these things. You don't see that it's not clear, maybe. So you have to adapt and readjust certain things. So I think it's completely necessary. And Ricarda, I wanted to ask you if you could talk about your process, I mean your role, and how did you approach the design of the gaming experience? Because you were presented with the story, and what did you do after that? How was your process?
Okay, well, I think the whole way how Max and I worked during this production was quite unconventional, because we didn't write down concepts or like mostly. I mean, I think I sent Max like a PDF with some where I like put the photos of the films and then something like, now there's going to be a scene, now there's going to be a game, now it's going to be a scene, and then the whole other parts we met and we talked, and sometimes we would scribble, and sometimes Max would write down a word on his whiteboard to remember it. And mostly it was like kind of like a conversation we had verbal, and Max keeping it in his head. And then we would sometimes call each other and give some new thoughts. And like now looking from back how we worked, it was kind of, mostly you would do like a lot of like shots and coloring or everything, and we met for lunch, and I would scribble some ideas on like on a paper for Max, and then he would see them, and it was, so I think this was definitely something unconventional in a way.
I mean it's just brainstorming it, like a little bit of brainstorming, and then just
yeah, and
going with the
Max,
flow. I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I mean, how Max, how you kept everything in your head somehow. You had the idea, you had all this, you had the vision of the story, then you had the idea of the games, and you just, I mean, I think it was really amazing.
Yeah, you were very clear on what you wanted, so I guess that helped a lot.
Yeah. And then, so your question is how I came up with ideas for the game?
Yes, exactly. I mean, you were presented with a story and with a film because it was already shot. And how did you approach your role in the project?
I think
how did you come with the ideas? How was your process of, you know, implementing those ideas?
Yeah, well, I would say that Max and I, we worked very closely. Like, we had some session where we brainstormed, okay. And I would throw like some ideas to Max, like, what if we make like a mini game which is kind of like a snake game or more? And Max would say, oh no, maybe a riddle game, maybe something more difficult where the user has to think more. And then I would say, okay, but what do you think of maybe something? So we would like, it was kind of like a brainstorming where we would ping pong each other ideas, and
okay.
Then I had the idea, I don't know if how the idea came up, maybe also Max had it, that because it was all this memory thing, then I thought once, like, oh, why don't we do something with like synopsis, like, you know, in the brain you have these parts in the brain, right, who send each other quickly ideas. And then then Max thought, like, I think it was like Max thought, yeah, like, how was it that you always wanted a memory game in it? Somehow, like, I think the whole process was we were pushing each other ideas, and then new things evolved, and then small things came up, like the touching, like we have, because, I mean, 5 minutes is like a branded game with G-Shock, like the watch in it.
Yeah.
And then I remember that, I mean, there was this one scene where in the middle of the game where actually I suggested that the actor he could or the player could like touch the watch to like continue the flow, and it was all some kind of ping ponging each other ideas, I would say. Max, do you agree with that, or how did you do?
Yeah, I agree. The process, what is interesting, I think, is that we had games which maybe better fit into the story, for example, memory games of something like this, but they didn't fit emotionally. So you know what I mean?
Of course,
so
yeah.
you maybe could create games that are even more connected to the story or what you see, but then you lose the emotion or the feeling. That we had to decide to get these games out and do in, for example, the gesture game, because it has some pace. It's quite a bit about memorizing things, but it's not as good as maybe real memory stuff. But if we had used the real memory stuff, we had losing all the emotions about time pressure.
Yeah.
In this,
exactly, and put some action into it.
Yeah, so you have to decide, okay, this is better connected, but this feels better. And we always decided to the games or the concepts which created more emotions for the viewer. Yeah.
That's really interesting. So the emotion makes, you know, it's like the main thing. You can't forget the emotion. It may sound like a great game, but the emotion that you want to create is the thing that really decides if you're gonna put it or not. Yeah,
we wanted to put like real pressure on the player, like like, and to make it that immersive that the player actually has to, he's watching the story, and he's frightened of the characters because they only have 5 minutes until, like, the character only has 5 minutes to remember whether he's a zombie or not. And then he has to play and continue, like, he has to interact with his iPad or with the tablet, with the desktop. And if he doesn't do it quick enough, then his character is going to die. So we wanted to put pressure on him with the games.
Yeah, and I think you really achieved it, because when you play it, you really feel that. It's pressuring.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, it's true. Thank you. I was going to ask you something. You know, you have these like different levels that the player can choose. I don't know. I don't remember the names, but it's like, okay, very easy.
Like tourist is the easy one.
Okay, so was that your intention from the beginning? Did you know you wanted different levels, like in a game, or did that come after the testing or something like that?
Yeah, the idea was right from the beginning as well that we create something everybody can play. So you don't have to download stuff on your iPad or tablet. You don't have to be the king and the mouse pad, you know. So it should be a mixture or between a casual game and a harder game. So in the end, you couldn't do the perfect game and the perfect balancing. We did it in the testing as well. We had some shards where the test users failed more often than in other parts of the story, and we adjusted the balancing with the actual user testing. But in the end, you have some gamers there which have played games since they are born, and they maybe say, okay, it's not hard enough. And then you have the fathers and mothers of us which play the game and say, I can't make it to the end, it's too hard, even in tourist mode. But you have to find something in the middle, and then the idea was to give the steps like tourist, moderate, and hell, where you have a separation in this boundaries of difficulty. Yeah,
that's good. So you thought about, you know, reaching out to a wider audience. You wanted to everyone being able to play the game. So that's, well, to play the game, to live the experience, I would say, not play the game.
Yeah, to live the experience, yeah. And okay. This was also the idea with the subtitles, for example. So we decided to create subtitles in Spain, Spain, German, English, and the third language, I don't know. It was four languages.
Was it Asian?
We have thought about Chinese, but sorry, I have to look it up. Maybe only about three. So we did subtitles for different languages to get a wider reach and a wider audience. For example, currently the game is going well in Mexico, where they play it, and they are let's plays about our game, which have more clicks than our game itself. So, for example, on YouTube, you find a video of a guy playing our game, which has already 2 million clicks, right?
Wow.
So they like it. And what I especially like about Let's Plays is it's like the user testing. You see people playing the game and what they feel about it. And I especially like the part at the end. I don't spoil it right now, but it works really great. It works how we would like. It works how we planned it for the
You are creating the experience that you wanted to create.
Yeah, right.
You could see that
in the face. Right? Yeah,
that's really good.
At the beginning, there was a Polish guy played it, and his hand was shaking after he couldn't hold his hand still after he has finished the game. I really like this. For example,
So,
that's really good. And okay, so I would like you, if you can, to give me like one final advice, or, you know, to people who want to develop interactive projects. About your experience, what would you say is the way to approach? What's the most important part of developing a successful interactive project? Can you tell me that?
I think the secret about creating an interactive project is that you don't should fear to fail. You will fail all the way you do this project.
That's interesting.
And it's not about the failure, but it's about the how to overcome this failure and find new ways to do things. And you work 50% of your time for the trash bin, and it never the stuff you work on will never find its way to the final project. But you learn every time from every failure, from every shit you do, you learn how to make it better, and you have to have this passion to be a kind of a perfectionist, to do it over and over and over and over again, to find something which works in the end. So it's not the project you maybe it's not the product you have thought about, but it will be good, and the next time you can do a project or a product which will be awesome. So I would say when we now would do 5 minutes again, the shooting and every stuff, it would be a better experience in the end, of course. So because we have learned so lot and so much, and you have to learn how to do things, and yeah, and you don't have to fear to work for the trash bin. Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah. I think, yeah, interactivity is like that. It's learning all the time because it's very innovative and it's very it's responsive. It's with the user, final user. So, Ricarda, tell me your thoughts.
Yeah, I would add to Max, I would give the advice to do prototyping as early as possible. Yes, and I totally agree with everything which Max said. You have to continue, and then you go back, go some steps back, and then you continue some pegs forward. It's kind of like a cha-cha-cha.
Yeah, interesting. And, yeah. Well, that's great, guys. I think your project is great. It's fun. It's exciting. It generates the pressure that you wanted and the emotion that you wanted. And so it's a very good example of what interactivity can achieve. So I congratulate you for that. And as a final thing, where can people visit your project and see your project? And how can they find you online? So I'm going to share the links, of course. We'll share everything, but tell us.
Yeah, you can visit Google, for example, and type in 5minutes.gs. Or you can type in 5minutes.gs in your browser, and then you find our project. Or maybe you can search for 5 minutes. I think it's the first item in Google. And
about you? Where they can they find you online?
They can Google my name and they will find me online.
And Ricarda, you have a Twitter account?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at Ricarda Zali, which is like RECARDA and Zali with SALEH.
Perfect. So, well, thank you very much for being in the podcast and sharing your amazing
experience. Thank you very much for the invitation. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. It was really nice to talk to you. Thank you. Bye.